Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome, survivors, to Survival Jaws, a podcast. I am your host, Jason A. Coombs, and this is your other host, I guess that way, Samantha Dawn Sitzelo.
I was like, hi.
Yeah, did you want to say it? I should have let you say it. Say it. Say your name.
Thank you. Samantha Dawn Sitzelo.
Yes.
And we're coming in hot in collaboration with Broadway World.
We are. And this is, what is this, episode 55, Samantha Dawn Sitzelo? Am I wrong?
I believe you're right. No, I believe you're correct. 55. Do you know that like stupid video that was going around and it was like years ago and they were like, shwiggity schwash, 55. Schwa'd you say? Schwanteen. Okay.
I know how to count all the way to 55. And I will tell you how to do it faster than you can say poop-de-poop-de-pints.
Don't know, no, but it sounds cute.
My cousins and I, shout out to my cousin Brittany, who I think listens. She'll laugh so hard if she listens. We used to laugh so hard about this stupid video, and it was like, 55. So happy episode 55.
Happy episode 55. Shout out to Brittany. There we go. Temperature check, how you feeling?
You know what? I'm in a fantastic mood today, and I don't know why.
Nice.
And I'm
just, you look so pretty. Yeah.
Thank you.
For those
Jason.
Who can see her, she looks gorgeous today. I mean, you always Thank look gorgeous, you. But today,
well,
like, you look so
You know
radiant.
What? Thank you so much. We do have our rough days when we record this, and I'm like, not looking great. I don't know. I'm just feeling good. Feeling good. I did a little workout. I've been like working hard. I traveled a bit. I don't know. I'm feeling good. And my temperature check is, I'm feeling good. What is yours?
I am feeling good that I'm in the room with you. You make me feel good. So
that is sweet.
You're sweet. And I do want to say something. Well, it's Halloween time. Let's talk about that really quick. Happy
Great.
Halloween,
Thank
right?
Thank you so much.
This
Happy
is coming
Halloween.
Out a couple of days before.
We're coming out on Halloween weekend. Okay. I don't want to give any spoilers, but here I go. I am let's see if it happens. Shout out to Nzinga, our past guest. She and I are supposed to dress up as Cher and Dion from Clueless. Okay. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Now, I have ordered my costume and Nzinga has still not confirmed if she's placed her order. So we'll see if I'm solo Cher in this yellow plaid schoolgirl outfit or if she will be
Love
with
it.
Me. So we're just going to have to see what's going to happen. I have my stuff coming and I'm returning it all to Amazon right after, just letting you know. But I think it'll be fun. Anyway, that'll be fun. So we're going to see if it happens.
I was asking you a question. I was on mute. I was asking you.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like, something's going on here, but I don't know if I should just keep it going. Is Jason okay? So that's the thing. Do I have to get a blonde wig?
I mean, you don't have to, but isn't she blonde?
But she is. And we're going to like a costume contest dinner.
Well, so
I bet you if I get the wig, we'll definitely win. All right. I'll get the wig.
Get the wig. Yeah. Nice.
Jason, I just love Halloween so much.
It's a fun time.
Not even for the dressing up, but I do love Halloween movies. So this past weekend, I was hanging out with my mom, and I was like, let's watch a Halloween movie. We usually go to Practical Magic. It's like my favorite movie of all time, not only at Halloween, all the time. And she was like, let's watch Witches of Eastwick. And I was like, oh, I've never seen it. She was mortified. She said, how are you, my daughter? And you've never watched this. Yes.
So it was WB11 when I was a kid.
WB11?
Yeah, before it became the CW. That's how old we are.
Oh, WB11. My God. I remember that. That's pretty funny.
With the frog? Remember that frog?
No, there's no frog. Oh. Snakes.
There was a frog on WB11. No.
Oh, the frog. I thought you were talking about the movie. I was like, there's no frog in the movie. Yes, I know the frog you're talking about on WB11.
With the top hat? Yeah. Anyway.
With the top hat. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Witches of Eastwick was an excellent, excellent film. Jack Nicholson was so good in it. I wonder if he has gotten any Oscar nominations or anything for this, but it was great. It was nice to watch. It was really witchy and it got me in the spirits. It got me in my witchy mood.
Yeah, I love Halloween. It's always like, I love scary movies and I love the decorations. And I feel like I don't ever really dress up. Like last year I did Tom Cruise Risky Business just because it was like a button down shirt and underwear. So I was like, oh, really easy. But this year I actually got a costume too. I'm going to do the freaking people from Us. Do you know the movie Us?
Yes.
The doppelgangers. So I got like a red jumpsuit, got me some gloves. I got me the scissors. I can't wait. Except I have nowhere to freaking really go. So here we go.
Yeah, just so I got five on it.
Yeah.
Jason, I love your sweatshirt.
Thank you. I got this from a musician named Colton who had a film at the he had a music video at the film fest, and he's selling these. I put the link in the bio. He's a really great musician, and he's making these really nice t-shirts. I think part of it goes to like a charity, and he's always uplifting like Black voices. So I wanted to wear it today. And Colton Harris, I believe his last name is, and I'll put it in our show notes. So yeah.
Oh, Jason, it's so nice. I love that.
It's cute. It's like a heart. It's a black sweatshirt with a nice big heart because, you know, we love everybody. I should have worn something Halloweenish, but
that maybe looks next week. That looks like the Art of Kindness podcast would love that sweatshirt.
Shout out to Robert Peter Paul. Yeah.
I feel like he always
He's getting married so soon. Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Rob.
Yeah, we love him. Before we jump over to our guest, I did want to say, because I'm a huge Christina Aguilera fan, as if anybody who knows me knows, and it's the 20th anniversary of her album Stripped, which was like, had like Dirty on there and Fighter and Beautiful, like all those really classic
songs. Oh my God, Dirty. Wanna get dirty, it's about time for my own.
Heaters up, ladies, feathers, drop your cups. 20 years. How can that be? Like, how could that be 20 years ago? So
same way we know the frog had the top hat. That's how.
Yeah, it's so weird, right? That feels like it was yesterday. Even the frog with the top hat feels a little bit longer than yesterday, but it doesn't feel like it was, you know, such a long time. But yeah, so shout out to that. And
wow, I do know you love your Christina.
She just released a video for Beautiful, like a new video that like has like different people who are accepting themselves. That's what the song is about, right? Finding the beauty in yourself and not, you know, relying on other people to make you feel good about yourself, you know, finding that inner beauty in yourself and whatnot. So the new video is really cute. And yeah, maybe we'll show a little bit of it here. And
I am beautiful in every single way. His words can bring me down.
All-time favorite songs.
Yeah, and the video was so groundbreaking because it was, you know, 20 years ago and it had like an LGBT, like a gay couple kissing, which was like controversial at the time, and it had like a trans woman and it had like a black girl who was like having an eating disorder. It was just really groundbreaking. I feel like sometimes Christina doesn't get the respect that she deserves as a trailblazer and who was doing stuff at the time when it was like, you know, the George Bush conservative era, and she was like, right, for sexuality, and she was standing up for women's rights. She was all about women empowerment.
What am I not supposed to have an opinion? Should I keep quiet just because I'm a woman? Call me a bitch because I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I sat to smile.
When, you know, she was a feminist, when that word was like not supposed
to
be said.
A swear word.
Yeah, yeah.
A so, curse.
A curse. Not everybody's a feminist, me. Right? Yeah. So let's talk about Evan.
Yes, Jason. I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this episode today with Evan Alexander Smith, aka Evan Smith, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we talk about this a lot, but I'm so grateful for this podcast because we meet so many amazing people that who knows if our paths would have ever crossed with Evan if it weren't for survival jobs. But Jason, you didn't end up ever going to Little Shop, huh?
Anyway, I've been trying to see my friend Sarah. Shout out to Sarah. We've been trying to listen to the podcast. We've been trying to see Little Shop since January of last year. When there was a blizzard, we couldn't go, and then they wouldn't give us like a they wouldn't like reimburse us, and they were like, "Oh, you got to call in. You got to call in a day of a." It's been a really crazy process, and we tried like 4 times. So, if people who work at Little Shop, if you can just like hook a brother up, I already paid for the tickets.
Listen, help them out. We're almost coming to the year mark, guys.
It was supposed to be in January, mid-January. It was an early birthday present for myself. I spent $150 on those tickets. I just want to see one of my favorite musicals. And I could have freaking saw Evan in it.
I am laughing.
So many times over the past year. But anyway.
Yikes. I mean,
I digress.
Yes. So Evan was in Little Shop of Horrors, which you did not get to see, but you would have, and you're going to. Now he's going to be in the New York Theater Workshop production of Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah,
with former Survival Jobs guest Crystal Joy Brown. Like, yes. What an iconic cast.
I know. And you'll hear all about it in the interview. It really is an iconic cast. We make a little bit of jokes about it. But, should we do his bio?
Yes. Why don't you take the bio?
Sure. Do you want me to do the whole thing? No.
I think for Halloween. Halloween you get to do the whole bio.
Sure.
Trick or treat. That's your trick.
Is it a trick or is it a treat? I feel like it's a treat to read his bio.
That leaves it up to you.
It leaves it up to me. Okay.
Right.
Evan is a classically trained actor born and raised in the suburbs of Toronto, Canada. After graduating, he had the pleasure of performing in some of Canada's best commercial and regional theaters. In the fall of 2013, he moved to New York City. He considers himself very lucky to have had the opportunity to work with the incredible community of generous artists and creatives on Broadway, national tours, and in regional theaters across the country. And he loves pizza and dogs. Oh, I should have shown him Ziggy.
I love pizza too.
And I like dogs. And dogs.
Jason, I was on mute when you did the bio and I started crying laughing because you said something and you said Broadway.
Yes, you know I love saying it Broadway.
I know. Oh, guys.
We love Broadway.
We do love Broadway. We even called Mr. Broadway in our episode today. Guys, we are so silly today and this episode's so fun and.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Enjoy it. Enjoy Evan, y'all. Follow him. Support him. And if you're one of the lucky people who got tickets to Merrily, congrats. Because they're sold out.
Congrats. Trick or treat. Happy Halloween.
Awesome. Evan Alexander Smith, thank you for being on Survival Jobs, the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And we were just talking a little bit about, you know, Crystal, our friend, and your castmate. So that's like, cool that you listened to that episode and you're like super pumped to be here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I listened to that interview with Crystal probably 2 weeks before we started rehearsals. So it was a great way to like get to know somebody in the, I don't have any other friends in the show yet, or I do now, but before we started rehearsals. So it was nice to get to know somebody sort of virtually a little bit first. And you guys are so lovely. So.
Oh my God, Jason, look at what we made, like a get to know you thing also, as well as a talk show, as well as a podcast. I love that. Jason, I would like to thank you for using the whole name. Evan, is that, do you like going by Evan Alexander Smith, or do you just go Evan Smith?
Evan Smith. When I joined, people can call me whatever they want. When I joined Canadian Equity, like, gosh, 13 years, 14 years ago, whenever it was, there was another Evan Smith, and they said, like, on the spot, pick something right now. And just off the top of my head, I threw my middle name in there. I'm sure I could have gotten creative with initials and, like, changing the orders of things or picking something, like, totally wild. But no, that's all it is. It's a union thing.
You know what?
Yeah.
I love it. And you want to know something about me if we're going to talk?
Please.
I am Samantha Tutsalo. And when I got my equity card, there are no other Samantha Tutsalos. But I felt the need to put Samantha Dawn Tutsalo just to be an asshole. So my equity card is Samantha Dawn Tutsalo. So Jason always does welcome me as that. Guys, I have something really important to say before we start talking survival jobs and all about Evan. Happy Halloween. And I want everyone to just take a look at this sweatshirt. Do you get it, Evan?
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know if this is coming through on the microphone, but that is hearty applause.
And for you people who are only listening, I have a Winifred Sanderson sweatshirt on that says, "Dost thou comprehend?" And I really felt the need. Okay, enough about me and Halloween and Winifred. Evan. I'm so excited. I know we were chatting a little bit before about Merrily we Roll Along. Am I okay? Merrily We Roll Along. But congratulations. This is huge.
Thank you.
How's it been going?
It's been going incredibly right now. This is my first day off since we started. And my brain is like, it's been through the blender, I think, this week, just trying to get everything sort of fit in between my ears. So incredible being in that room with all of those, like, immensely, immensely talented people. It's already just such a dream. So I couldn't be more grateful.
Who are your co-stars? Yeah. Chop it in for us, for those who don't know.
Oh, well, if you don't know, we have Lindsay Mendez, who's like unbelievable. For fans of the show, there's a song called Now You Know, which closes act one, and she sang it for us yesterday. And I think the entire room, just all of us, exploded, like, internally combusted. She's incredible. We have Jonathan Groff is playing Frank, who I understudy, and we have Daniel Radcliffe playing Charlie. Daniel, I don't know if anybody's heard of Daniel Radcliffe.
I was just gonna ask you, who is that?
This is only, I think, his, like, second or third Broadway show. He's a real wizard, I hear.
Yeah, some kind of, like, Harry Potter. Was that one that was? Some flash in
a pan? Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. People seem to know who he is.
He said he's a real wizard, I hear.
He's amazing. Three of them are unbelievable. And then, we have a sort of outstanding group of people around them as well. Katie Rose Clark as Beth, and Crystal as Gussie. It's, an embarrassment of riches.
And by the way, yourself included in that mega talent pool. So we cannot wait to run to see that. But I imagine before your success, you probably had some survival jobs, just an assumption. So before we jump into the full fun interview, if you could describe what survival job means to you in one word, what would you say?
Oh, man, without using the word survival. bills, survival job.
Bills is a good one. Bills is a good one.
Yeah. Security, I guess, maybe. Or stability.
Yeah, stability.
Ooh, those words. Good ones.
I guess that's been three words now. I cheated, but.
No, I mean, that's part of it, right? Bills never end. So thinking back on your journey from Canada to the United States and performing, do you have a survival job that you had that you think back on that positively impacted your career, one that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, I mean, like, my favorite survival job is the one that I still do when I'm not acting now, which is I've been an audition reader for probably, like, every actor in New York City at this point.
Yes.
That feels like cheating because it's not, waiting tables. And I did bartend for a hot second. The one that I've been doing basically since I moved to New York is working as an audition reader. And it's I it's like my second favorite job besides acting on stage. I really love it. And it has been so instrumental for me as a performer. Yeah, it's the best.
That's amazing. By the way, it's not cheating. Like, it's still, that's why we love this show, because we get to learn about so many different types of survival jobs, you know, taking you out of the like stereotypical, like, I'm serving until 2 a.m. and I'm miserable and sad. Like, you don't have to be sad in your survival job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably the most important thing I've done as an actor outside of like continuing my training in a more formal way or any of the number of things that I'm sure we'll get to. It's just to get to watch again in the same way that I'm experiencing right now with Marilee, watching all of these incredible actors doing incredible work. And even on the flip side, watching incredible actors come in with, you know, not having time to prepare and still seeing, you know, how the kernel of an idea can become this, you know, beautiful thing over the course of, you know, 3 minutes in a room. Yeah. And in the way that it totally demystifies the whole audition process. I think like as actors, we are so used to sitting out in the hallway and like waiting for the door to open. And once you pass over that threshold, it's this scary place where you have 30 seconds or a minute or 10 minutes to, you know, like beg for a job, which obviously is not something we should be doing, but that's what it feels like. We build up this sort of very intimidating experience of it in our head. And I think being an audition reader, just being in audition rooms with casting directors and creative teams all day for so many years now, it just helps you realize how normal everyone is, how everybody is just doing a job, how everybody in that room is rooting for you. And it makes the audition room a like not scary secret place. It's just a normal day workplace, which, you know, is something that I hope every actor gets to experience, that kind of comfortability, you know?
Plus it sounds... Oh, Ben.
No, we do it every time.
No, I was just going to say, because it's also like you're getting kind of like a training in a way, right? Because you're getting to perform, right? You're getting to perform. And then you're also in the room where it happens, as cheesy as that may sound, right? So you're getting to meet the people who are creating these projects as well and getting a personal kind of connection to them. So it's like a win-win all around.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, like, I'll never forget, we were doing auditions for 1984, what was that, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And Reed Birney picked me up out of my seat, took me by the hand and brought me up and started just using me as a scene partner instead of, you know, the guy in the corner. And it was this moment of just like, I cannot believe this is happening right now.
And then you're like, yes, and.
Yes, and, exactly. And then, you know, those relationships, like you were saying, those relationships you build in the room with casting directors and with creative teams, you know, it's not that I think anybody should be, you know, pursuing work as a reader to try to sort of get in through the side door or whatever, but absolutely those relationships can be super fruitful. And I can trace Marilee, we roll along right back to those reading jobs and the play that goes wrong. Wow. Same thing. So,
oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
So listen, everyone, your survival job doesn't always have to suck. However, do you have any shocking stories from a survival job that maybe wasn't so fulfilling and one that you like, maybe a scary bartending story?
You know, I've been so lucky. I mean, even I was a bartender for a month, so I didn't really sort of pay my dues there. It was in Toronto, and my roommate had been working for that bar, and it was super sketchy. Like, they didn't have the money to pay for employees, so they could only hire employees who were up to the age of 25, and they had to do it through an employment service. So you would go in, you would have your interview, and if they liked you, they would say, okay, now go talk to so-and-so at this, you know, Toronto Employment Service Agency, where you would be approved essentially by the government, for the government to hire you to work at this bar. It was very strange, very fishy. But even there, I mean, it was fine. Like, I'd never bartended before, and I, you know, just sort of jumped in on the deep end and then got my wisdom teeth out. And when I recovered from that, I had my first big job in Toronto, so I didn't have to go back, which was nice.
Amazing.
But
also
no,
they're like, they couldn't afford to have employees.
It was truly insane. It was, but like, nice people, just very sketchy.
I'm so dead.
I worked at Costco. I got fired from Costco when I was in college. That was an experience.
Wait, why'd you get fired from Costco?
We need to know why.
Too many samples on the floor?
I wish. It was like lunch hour in there every day. I was not a model employee, and I had kept missing work at Costco to go and be an extra in movies. Which is very a weird flex. But I had a background agent when I was in college, and it paid so much better. And it was mostly just me sitting around on chairs, like on the lot eating Oreos, which was like much better than going to work at Costco. Yeah. And finally, my manager was not happy with that arrangement anymore. And he said, you have to stop calling out the day of. And I didn't do that. And I was sent packing. And I have a long story about the day that it happened. It involves me dressing up in a suit to get fired.
I kind of want to hear it.
Well, we also had a policy at Costco. I was a cashier sometimes, but I was also one of the lot boys. So I would go around collecting carts in the like dead of summer.
That sounds so awful.
I mean, it was fine if like the managers were good, but this one manager, You were supposed to wear a collared shirt, like a polo shirt, anywhere you worked in the store. And nobody enforced it for the guys who worked outside because it was like 100 degrees and you were pushing carts all day. And so on a lunch break that day, he'd already had, you know, he was already upset with me for the aforementioned reasons. But he said, you have to go home and change on your 1 30-minute break. I need you to put on a collared shirt. And I said, I don't think that sounds reasonable. And he said, go, your break starts now, get walking. So I went home and I put on like the nicest suit I had at that point, which was, you know, whatever I wore to prom, and came back like fully dressed in a suit, and literally did not, I got maybe 5 feet into the door, clocked in, and he said, come with me, close the door behind him. And
what,
you know,
a jerk for making you go all the way. He knew what he knew the end goal, and he made you go put on a suit.
It was Jim Halpert of you, though.
I mean, it made for a good story, which is, you know, I guess what all of these jobs are for, hopefully in some sense. So
I hate this manager. What
I don't think he stayed very long after that. I went back and visited over the holidays, and he was no longer there. So
I love that you went back and visited the Costco you got fired.
Costco in Canada has the best poutine. Nobody tells you this, but when you visit Canada, it's what I grew up on. You can go to like any of the number of very fancy poutine places, but nobody tops Costco. You just have to know this.
Do you get it frozen? And then how are you getting it?
At like the,
I don't know.
Have you been to like a Costco? Like you can go to a Costco. So you know how they have like the hot dogs and like the pizza in America?
Yes.
We have the hot dogs, the pizza, and the poutine.
I just was at a Canadian wedding, and the late night snack was poutine.
No way. We had poutine at our wedding in the cocktail hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Love that. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's very important.
Jason, let's take a trip.
Oh my. Yeah. Wait, what part of Canada are you from?
I'm from just outside of Toronto, a suburb called Mississauga.
Oh, fun.
Amazing. I haven't been to Toronto since I was like 10 years old. I do love Montreal, though.
Oh, Montreal is the best. It's like Montreal and old Quebec City. You get these like beautiful tastes of what Europe
old
feels
Quebec
like.
Quebec is beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Group trip to Canada to eat poutine in old Quebec.
We'll get some maple.
Maybe a JFK.
Exactly. So Evan, I was looking over your resume, you know, I was doing my research as a good host, and I saw that, you know, you've been in the play That Goes Wrong, Dirty Dancing, Amazing Grace, Little Shop, which I have a whole story about Little Shop, I'll tell you after. Ragtime, Amazing Grace, and we have an endless long list of pretty amazing projects you've been a part of. Do you have a favorite one so far?
I mean, how do you pick? Like, they're all, depending on who's listening, whatever the show that we did together is, was my favorite. Yeah, I mean, look, like The Toxic Avenger was my first big show out of college. It was the Canadian production of that show after it had been running off Broadway for a little bit. And we had the whole sort of New York creative team, and it was my first sort of foray into like what commercial theater was like. In Canada, we don't have like a ton of original casts of like replica Broadway productions. We used to have a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. Like there was the long-running Phantom production there. And like Joseph was there for a minute. But a lot of the time, what we, you know, as I was coming up, what we had mostly was tours. And so there weren't a lot of people who got to experience, you know, being in the original company of a Canadian production of a Broadway show like Les Mis or Miss Saigon. Those were the shows that were Canadian cast when I was growing up. So it was really cool to have that experience and to get to work with people from New York and to understand what the caliber of professionalism that was expected of you was. I was 21, so I was a baby. And I was working with the best in the business, and playing the lead role in the most physically, vocally demanding role I've ever played. So it was a lot to learn all at once. And I just came out of that with this incredible sort of understanding of how to, of work ethic and how to pace myself. And I learned from the incredible people around me how to treat other artists, so it was just full of incredible lessons. And because it was my first big show, it'll always be sort of the most special, I think, for me. But then, Amazing Grace was my Broadway debut, which, some of the most special memories of my life doing that show, The Play That Goes Wrong, being on tour, hearing thousands and thousands of people just losing their minds with laughter every night. Bringing that kind of comedy to all over the country. I mean, just gifts all over the place.
I hope you had a chance to give yourself a pat on the back. Cause I feel we don't often do that. We don't have to often take the experience in and our accomplishments in as we should. So hearing you talk about that and how proud you sound, I hope you really pat yourself on the back.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I think the pandemic for all of us was, or is, I mean, as it's still happening, it has been a huge chance to opportunity to reflect and to, I think the biggest thing that I carry forward with me from the past 2 years is that sense of gratitude, because we all sort of understood what it meant to not get to do the thing we love for so long and to wonder if it was ever coming back. And, So, those 2 years where we were all unemployed in the theater, where there was, massive kind of introspection and reflection.
For sure. Did you like being on tour?
Yeah. I mean, it was, that show is so exhausting for the actors on stage. It's, 2.5 hours of slapstick comedy. So I think we were all kind of trying to keep our bodies working for a year. But yeah, I loved it. I mean, I love exploring new cities. So I would spend all day sort of walking around, going to museums, and being a tourist. I really love traveling. So that aspect of it was incredible. I mean, touring is tough. You being in a different hotel room every couple of weeks and being away from my wife and not having the comforts of home is always difficult, but to get to do it on that show is, you couldn't have asked for a better thing to be occupied with when you have to be away. So.
Totally. So we did talk a little bit already about how exciting it is to be in Merrily with all of these people, but I want to talk a little bit more about that and what it's like to be in this Sondheim show, after his passing. Is there something different about that? And a second part of this question is, what's that transition been like from Little Shop to this production? They're very different, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. We had our big meet and greet that first day in the theater at New York Theater Workshop, and Maria Friedman, our director, took us through the sort of journey of the show, because it originally began as a student production at the Central School in London, before it became a show that they did at the Meunier Chocolate Factory and then the West End. And that production people can see online. So it's had this, this long, I think that was in 2012. So it's had, this 10-year lifespan. And listening to sort of what it has meant to Maria and to the team that has been working on it all this time was incredible. But also we had Stephen Sondheim's partner there that day talking about what a special show it was for him and for George Firth and for all their friends. He talked about, and I don't know if this is if I should be sharing this because it was a special moment, but he talked about how there was trying to remember all the details so I don't misspeak. The princes would have this party every Christmas. And, he talked about how Stephen would bring him, and it was this sort of who's who of people in the industry, very super fancy people. And every year without fail, they would all clamor around the piano in the other room, all, 50 or 100 of them, they would all pack in tight. And Jason Robert Brown would sit down at the piano, and everybody there would sing Merrily We Roll Along from the first number to the end. It was a tradition for them. It was an incredibly special show for them. And to be part of that legacy now is just so special and meaningful. I still kind of don't know how I wandered into this room. I feel very lucky, but yeah. And it's a very different show from Little Shop. I mean, it was coming from being,
completely
fed to a plant, 8 shows a week. It's just a very different thing. I mean, and Little Shop was also, an incredible legacy to get to be a part of, to like
totally
Howard Ashman's legacy, and to get to perform for Alan Menken. And, it's just like,
Broadway.
I was literally going to come off mute and say, as Jason and I say, that is so Broadway.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. Just to say that it just feels like I'm just so lucky to have been able to do these two shows over these past year and a half. I pinch myself every day.
Aww,
we've only been speaking with you for 22 minutes, and your energy and your vibe, I don't know you at all. And I'm just like, you're not so lucky. Like, you deserve this. Like, you seem so nice and genuine and humble. Like,
oh, thanks.
You are right where you're supposed to be. And so, I don't even know you. It's the Canadians.
Aw. Canadians are the best.
We got to make a big run soon, all of us.
But I think the bridge between Little Shop and Merrily was, or I guess it's not a bridge necessarily between, but a common sort of shared experience between those two shows is having these shows that we have been lucky to have these sort of stars come in and join. Little Shop, we had Jeremy Jordan and Conrad Ricamora, Skylar Astin, Rob McClure, Lena Hall, and Tammy Blanchard, Christian Borle. Now this is just the name drop show. The thing is, it's such a gift to be able to learn from those people, not just from like acting on stage with them and watching them work, but like watching the way they treat other people, watching the way they approach the work themselves, watching like their work ethic. It's like across the board, just lovely, lovely people. And it shows you the importance of, especially when you're playing, Seymour, how important it is when you're the lead of a show to also sort of lead the company, whether or not that is the job you're being hired for. Watching all of these people really step up and lead the group, the Audreys, the Seymours, the Orens, really like incredible people, role models,
Love that. Well, speaking of role models, leading companies, and all these amazing people you've gotten to work with, do you have a dream collaboration or dream role that you would love, that's like on your list? Like, I'm going to play there, I'm going to work with this person one day.
Evan's face when you said that.
He was know.
I mean, getting to do a Sondheim show is like, I think like bucket list for everybody. I always totally. Like the role that I used to always say is George and Sunday in the Park. It's always been like the thing that, but I don't know. I just want to do good work with good people, who, are good to be around, and
preach.
That's, I guess, the goal. I mean, I feel like the stock answer used to be like, I want to do the new show that hasn't been written yet.
We've gotten that a couple of times.
Yeah. And that's a totally valid response. I don't want to mock those people, but, I just want to keep being in shows with lovely people doing good work, But George.
All right, so we're going to manifest
also George.
Yeah.
We're going to get some revival. That revival wasn't not that recent, so there could be another one coming along.
I feel like there should, like, there we have the Stratford Festival in Canada, so there's kind of like always a Shakespeare happening at any given time in the Toronto area. I just feel like there should always be a Sondheim show running in New York.
Agreed.
So, like, we had, you know, we had Company, and now we'll have Sweeney, and who knows what the future of Merrily will be. But who, you know, knows? There should, I don't think there should ever be a time where there's not a Sondheim on Broadway. So,
you know what? We'll let Broadway know that you said that, and we'll make sure it happens.
Yeah. Put in a letter.
We heard it here first on Broadway World. Mr. Broadway. Oh my God. Evan, you're so kind and nice. Thank you so much for coming on. Of course. I know, everyone, listeners, we were chatting before and I was like, Evan, I'm so sorry. I was so annoying on Instagram. I've been DMing him like an annoying psychopath.
Not
for,
at all.
Like, weeks. I'm like, do you have availability this week?
I was on a cruise ship when we first started chatting, and I had email, or I had internet access for like one day, and we were in Port Canaveral in Florida, and it was the day before the hurricane hit. Like reception was really bad, and I wanted, anyways, it was a whole mess trying to get in touch, but I'm glad we finally were able to.
We made it. We're here. We're here.
Look at us.
Look at Paul Rudd meme. Like,
look at us. Oh, gosh. Okay. So this is one of my favorite questions. We rotate it in and out on the show. Perhaps you've heard it. So we always like to bring it back to survival jobs in one way or another. So if you had to work your least favorite survival job, so that's maybe Costco or the bar that couldn't afford to hire bartenders. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Costco in your suit.
Costco in the suit. If you had to do one of those jobs for the next 10 years to come out of that and have your dream artistic life, whatever that means to you, everything you just described, George, every day, 8 shows a week, would you do that?
It's a good question. Because I will say, first of all, Costco was a great job besides that one day. Lovely people to work for. Please don't sue me, Costco.
By the way, to all the Kimberly Akimbo fans, Aunt Deborah loves Costco as well.
I like shopping at Costco. I most of the time enjoyed working at Costco. So I feel bad like qualifying it as like a bad place to work. Repeat the question one more time. I want to make sure I've carefully considered this.
If you had to go back to your least favorite survival job, and now, by the way, that means it's your least favorite, not that the place is a bad place to work. Okay. If you had to go back to your least favorite survival job for the next 10 years, but when you came out of those 10 years, you, in the snap of a finger, will get your dream artistic life for the rest of your life, whatever that means to you, would you do it?
I'm tainted because I heard Julie's response to this, which was so great. I don't think I would. I think like I think it was Julie that said this. I agree that so much of like the journey is the most important thing. And like what I think is my dream sort of artistic creative life now will probably massively shift in 10 years. And what that dream job is influenced by all the experiences I have along the way. So I wouldn't, I think, want to be stuck somewhere that where I wasn't feeling artistically fulfilled or having new experiences, because those new experiences, I think, are what make us valuable as actors or give us perspective. So I'd rather have, you know, 10 years of other bad jobs and learn what, you know, the path is as I take it, I guess.
You guys, he would even give up that poutine every single day.
I had a coworker once tell me that I was going to get heart disease if I kept eating it every day at lunch.
What?
So maybe
you're
I have to.
Hey, mind your business, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. She was very nice, but she was not. She was not a Costco poutine fan. I guess I don't know.
She was not. Well, again, wow. Thank you so much. This is amazing. Yeah. You gave a great answer. And thank you. Shout out to Julie for the inspo.
Yeah, for sure.
For the inspo in so many ways. Just the best.
She's the truth.
Yeah.
We stand Julie. We stand everybody. We're like everybody we fall in love with on this show that we
We do. Okay, so like we told you, Jason, do you want to introduce the game?
Yeah. So this is why I asked you 14 times just to make sure you were from Canada, because we thought we'd play a game of Name That Canadian. So we're gonna ask you a question. Is some are true or false and some are not, and you'll just tell us if that person is Canadian or not.
Okay.
I hope you know your peeps.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
This is kind of one of my favorite games. Like, I just hear like a talk show. It's like, name that Canadian.
Okay.
You want to take the first?
Okay, sure. Are you ready?
I think so.
This famous Canadian starred in and co-created the iconic show Schitt's Creek with his famous actor father. Who Dan is Levy. This Canadian?
Dan Levy.
Excellent.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Killing it already.
Okay. This knocked up and Pineapple Express actor from Canada. Guy started as a stand-up comedic? Some stand-up comedian in Vancouver.
Seth Rogen.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Killing it. Okay, true or false? Both the Notebook stars Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams were born in Canada.
True. My high school girlfriend's dad taught Ryan Gosling in high school in Hamilton, which is a city outside of Toronto. And Rachel McAdams went to York, which is
a
theater school in Toronto.
So. Wow, no stumping Evan.
Right? Dang.
I'm here to win.
I think okay. so.
Give me something hard.
Which powerhouse actress who was a 9-year veteran of Grey's Anatomy was born in Canada?
This is my blind spot. I don't watch Grey's.
Okay, oh. I just started. So
Samantha watches every day. So.
No, I've taken a break, but I would highly recommend. I know it's not going to help you in the game, but that's a sidebar.
I feel like I need to phone a friend, like with Conrad or my wife or somebody. I lose. I don't know.
We can give you a hint.
Oh, wait. Sandra Oh.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Wow. Congrats. How did you get
pulled
that?
It out of the air.
Because it happened in my head. I don't know what the line of thought was.
Wow, just, good job.
I swear I didn't Google. You would hear the typing. This
was very sensitive. You guys, he didn't. I'm keeping close eyes on him.
Yeah. There's a bonus, Samantha.
Do you want to take the bonus? Yes. Is there an answer? Okay.
I know it. Yep.
Okay. This is the bonus. Name this Canadian. This Degrassi actor and singer is from Canada.
Drake?
Yes.
He went.
Wow.
Congratulations. You got 150%.
When I was in high school, I went to a restaurant called Jack Astor's, which is like a fun, punny bar and grill in Mississauga. And I was on a date, and Drake, I think his name, he was known as Miles Aubrey at the time, was on a date the table next to us. And I remember thinking, is that Degrassi guy? That's Wheels.
Were on a double date.
Yeah,
I was.
You should tell people, I'm like, two truths and a lie. I was on a double date with Drake, because it's not completely a lie.
No. I feel like I'm missing out on like a huge level of street cred by not using that in everyday conversations.
Like for icebreaker games, like getting to know you in your next show, like two truths and a lie. I think that's what you should do. Hopefully they didn't listen to this episode, or hopefully they did, because, you know.
I hope they did.
We're such a hit.
Yes.
What does he win, Samantha?
An invitation to the Survival Job Season 3 launch party.
Hey! I'm there.
Whenever that may be. But that will be your golden ticket.
Amazing. I'm so excited.
We'll send a paperless post.
Yay!
Leave a treat.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you, guys. Yes. It was so much fun. This was great.
Evan, before you go, would you mind sharing where people can find you, social media, website, all that good stuff?
Yeah.
I'll call you right now.
Oh, great. So on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at I am Evan Smith. My website is www.evanalexandersmith.com. And I'm on TikTok, but like I mostly just scroll for dog content and like cooking videos.
That's mainly
I don't post anything. So, but if you want to follow me there in the hopes that I will one day, it's at I am Evan Smith, just like Instagram and Twitter.
Yes. Can you let everybody know where they can see you in Merrily?
Yes, please come and see me. Well, okay, look. The sad part of the story is the show is sold out, but it's also the good part of the story. So if you're able to, we have lottery tickets available on, I think it's TodayTix or CheapTix. Anyways, there are lottery tickets available. Otherwise, yeah, we're at New York Theater Workshop on East 4th Street through the middle of January.
Yes. And if you're just tuning in, I know. Like, didn't it happen in 10 minutes? Didn't it like sell out?
I think it was 10 minutes, and I'm pretty sure somebody on Reddit had said that there were like 300,000 people in line trying to get tickets, and that seems a little outrageous to me. But you know, it was they overloaded the thing. The website crashed. We're very lucky that so many people are so excited to see the show.
It's a hit.
It's a hit. It's a hit.
It's a hit. Because of that
wizard. I don't know. That wizard probably has some fingers.
Yeah. He said he's kind of a wizard. That really made me laugh. And if you guys are tuning in to Survival Jobs for the first time because you're an Evan fan and you don't know us, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod. On Facebook, we are Survival Jobs, a podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Follow me at Sammy Toots. And that is my boy,
Jason A. Coon.
Thank you so much, Evan. This is fun.
Evan, you're the truth. We love this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Break all of your legs in the show.
Thank you.
Great hair too, by the way.
Thanks. It's really hot in this office, so it's doing like a nice swoop right now by no effort of my own.
We love
taking the swoop.
Swooping.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great talking to you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.